to be a reversal of that. The Holy Spirit's going to leave with us, and He's going to be dealing like He did in Old Testament times with the nation of Israel. But so let's look at that here, and that's kind of the backdrop on what we're talking about today. But in verse 36, He said that no man knows the day or the hour. And so I want you to know something today. No, none of us know when Jesus is coming back. In fact, He said He don't even know. He said only the Father which is in heaven knows. And so nobody knows the day or the time, but I will tell you this, it could be at any time. It could be right now. It could be before we come back tonight. Jesus could come back and rapture the church out of this world. And when that happens, it will begin that great tribulation period on the earth, days in which no man has seen. And He said this, He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall it also be the coming of the Son of Man be. Now here's the story of Noah. God gave, you know, we can turn back over there and read it, but wickedness was on the face of the earth. The Bible said that man's heart was on sin continually and evil continually. And God looked down and He said, I'm going to destroy the earth by a flood. And the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God told Noah, He said, listen, I'm going to send a flood on the earth that's going to destroy the earth. It's going to destroy every living thing that's in the earth. And He said, I want you to prepare a way of escape that you don't have to be destroyed during the flood. And He told Noah to build an ark. And we're all kind of familiar with Noah and the ark. It's a story we all hear as children and we like to think about it. And Noah began to build this ark that God told him to build. Now, as he built this ark, it took Noah decades to build the ark. Decades is a long time, you know. I was thinking as we just started 2020, we're starting a new decade. You know, I saw something interesting the other day. Think about this. 2050 is as close as 1990 is far away. Man, that's something to think about, is it not? 2050 is as close as 1990 is away. And, man, if you think about it like that, that's something to think about. But decades is a long time. And so here Noah is, he's building the ark. He's building a big ship. And people come by and say, Noah, what's going on here? He said, well, God told me He's going to destroy the earth with a flood. Now, here's another little hitch in the plan. And the problem is that these folks hadn't never seen rain. I mean, this is the very early days of humanity. And they've never seen a rain cloud. They've never seen rain come down. So they've never even seen a flood. And so the things that Noah's talking about, they can't even relate to or understand. And let me tell you the reputation Noah gained as crazy old Noah who's building his boat for some flood that's coming. That's what they thought about Noah. And so for decades he works on the ark. For decades he builds the ark and he's preparing this great ship. Despite the ridicule, despite the hecklers, despite those who doubted him, he just continues to build the ark because God gave a word that that's what he should do. Now, I want you to know that's a lot like our day. God gave us a warning today, and the warning has went out to all the world that the end of the world is coming, that the rapture of the church is imminent, and we've all heard it. But here's the problem. 2,000 years ago, I want you to know Jesus Christ made a way of an escape. You know, Jesus Christ is a picture of the ark. Those that got in the ark would be saved from the wrath to come, and those that get in Christ are saved from the coming wrath. Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago with His death, burial, and resurrection, He provided a way of escape. Now let me tell you the good news today. No matter what we face in life, God's always made a way of escape. Nobody here can say, You know, even if we get in a mess and get in sin and all this, can I tell you something? God made a way so you didn't have to get in that. When we get in a mess, when Derek gets in a mess, let me tell you who he's got to blame. You know who he's got to blame? Me. Because God has made a way for me to get out of it. I could have never went where I went. I could have never said the things I said. I could have never thought the thoughts that I thought. And all those things. So when we get into something, I want you to know it's not God's fault. And He didn't put us in a position to do it. He put us in a position of escape. And let me tell you what's on the way. By the way, the whole world knows that there's a heaven and a hell. They've heard about it, whether they believe it or not. They might be like them people in Noah's day and say, I don't believe in heaven and hell. You know, it was recently a NFL quarterback said he didn't believe in a God that did, you know, allowed bad things, and he didn't believe in a God that had rules, and he didn't believe in all that. And you might be like that. That's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe. It doesn't change the reality. And all of us have heard that there's a heaven and that there's a hell that awaits. And Jesus Christ made a way so we don't have to go to hell. He came and He died on the cross for our sins because we could never be good enough. We could never earn our way there. We're not perfect. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, somebody had asked them a question. They said, well, you know, you talk about murderers or liars or bad people is going to be in heaven. I just can't buy that. If bad people don't go to heaven, then we in trouble. Amen. Because let me tell you what, we're all sinners. Jesus came on the scene and He upped the ante. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if you hate your brother, I consider you a murderer. He said, if you look on a woman of lust, I consider you an adulterer. He said, you're a thief. He said, who's calling me a thief? He said, well, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, when you hear all that, I don't know who amongst us wants to stand up and say, I'm good. But Jesus came and made that way. And here's the thing, though. For the last 2,000 years, we've been preaching this message. And here I am today, preaching a message that I've been preaching here for 14 years. And the message has never changed. That there's a hell that awaits, that the rapture of the church is imminent, and that the end of the world is near. And people grow skeptical and they grow complacent. They say, yeah, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. And Brother Derek's going to say today, we're closer than we've ever been. And some will say, he'll give us another week like he gave us last week. And man, we'll be back here next Sunday and everything will be good. And maybe we will. But maybe we won't. You see, Noah finished that ark and one day, God told Noah, said, I want you all to get in the ark. And no doubt, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I have no doubt today that Noah told his friends and those that came by, you need to get in the ark with us when that day comes. But only Noah and his family got in. 8 souls. Now, we look at them people and we might ridicule them, but you don't want to be the crazy people that got in the ark with Noah and the rains don't come, right? You don't want to get in there and the door shut up and you sit there waiting for the rain for a week or two and say, oh, it didn't come, now y'all get out and let's all make fun of you. But only his family got in, and then the Bible says that God shut the door. Well, we've been preaching about Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. I want to tell you something, there's going to come a day. And that day may be the day where the last person's going to get in the ark. There's going to come a day where the last person that's going to get saved needs to be saved. And God's going to close the door. And He's going to say, that's it. The time is now. The time is right. And I'm going to close it. You know, interesting note, when we talk about the long suffering of God, old Methuselah, y'all ever heard of a guy named Methuselah? Some people say some people are old as Methuselah. I think Methuselah was 969 years old. He was the oldest man that's ever lived. And his name means When he is gone, it shall be sent. When he is gone, it shall be sent. And what that means is when he died, when Methuselah dies, the flood came. And God let, he said, when this guy dies, I'm sending the flood. And God let that guy live to be longer, older than anybody ever has lived. What's that tell you today? And that tells me that God's long-suffering. And he's merciful and he's patient. He said, man, I let this guy live 969 years by this time. And God's looking down at our world today saying, man, it's been 2,000 years, but it's about to be time. And when the last person that God says can be saved or is going to be saved gets saved, he's going to shut the door. And when he shut the door, let me tell you what happened in Noah's day. The flood water started to come. The rain began to fall. I wonder what them people thought whenever they look up and rain's falling. I think some of them looked to the ark and said, oh, the door is closed. And I'm sure people ran to the ark and, man, couldn't get in. And as the waters fell, and the Bible says that the earth opened up and waters from the deep began to fill up. And, man, as that wrath of God began to pour out on the earth, it went and lifted up the ark. And as the wrath came down, the ark went up. Well, I want you to know, as we go up, we, the church, we're going to go up. He's going to have a trumpet's going to sound one day, and we will ascend and meet the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with him, the Bible says. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I want you to imagine that. Here's what the Bible said. It said in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one person shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? Brother David mentioned the other day in his devotion. He's a truck driver. And just imagine people driving down the road and boop, and they are not anymore. Man, you're riding down the road, you look over there and there's a car going by and ain't nobody in it and they're gone. There's going to be some people wake up and there's going to be people that ain't at their house. He's going to wake up, man. We're going to wake up to a world and just imagine everybody that's a believer in Christ being gone. Man, what a day that's going to be. What chaos that's going to bring. And by the way, I want you to know, it says over there in the scriptures, it says that when he that led it is removed, and you say, well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you know that we do have power in this world today? We're a force. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and we do keep evil at bay, even though we are ourselves sinful. The presence of God's Word and His Spirit and His church. But when we're gone, oh, what's going to happen? And just like in Noah's day, you know, people doubted, but the floods came, and all those people died, and all those people suffered the consequences of it. You might be here today in doubt, but I want you to know just as sure as the floods came in Noah's day, the rapture and the tribulation period is coming in our day. And I would say this, you do not want to be left behind. I don't have time to go all into what the tribulation period is, but look at what it says back in these. You go back and read some of these verses and look at what it says in over there in verse 21. Now, this is the tribulation period. Look back in verse 16. It says, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. Such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall it ever be. There's going to be a day, man, this tribulation period is going to be something like the world's never seen. And we could go over there and read in Revelation. I'm teaching through the book of Revelation in my Bible classes at school. And we can read about, you know, the Bible says that John there in Revelation is on the Isle of Patmos and he's seeing everything unfold. He's seeing the tribulation period. And he said there was a book with seven seals. And Jesus begins to open those seals. He lets loose that when he opens those seven seals, the four horses of the apocalypse, the four horsemen of the end of the times. Man, there's going to be one that comes on a red horse with a sword, and he's going to be lawlessness. Can you imagine the lawlessness? Remember when Katrina hit? Man, people saying, hey, looters will be shot on sight. Everybody was excited about that. You know, when I was in the National Guard, I said, you don't need to give some of these people guns. They're excited about this, and they want to be cowboys and everything else. But, man, lawlessness is going to reign in that day. People will be stealing. I mean, think about it. Whole homes will be, people will be left behind. And whole homes, people will be gone. Man, he talked about war and one that has on, the ability to conquer as he goes and spreads and war takes place. There'll be great famines. And then he said there'd be stars that fall to the earth and turn a third of the oceans to blood and a third of the rivers and lakes to blood. And man, people would drink the water and be poisoned and die. These are the things that are going to be going on that no one has ever seen before. And I'm glad I'm not going to be here for it. But some of you might be. Some of you might be. You might get ready to come back to church tonight and come back and say, where's everybody at? Where's everybody gone to? And then you'll be here. You'll be left behind to be able to have to endure the tribulation period. Now, some people say, well, can people be saved during the tribulation period? And the answer to that, I believe, is yes. I think that you're going to have a little bit of trouble finding biblical evidence that people aren't going to be saved. I got a lot of evidence that people will be. You say, well, what about me? Can I get saved during the tribulation period? Well, I think you can. You know how people get saved in the tribulation period? They get saved like they got saved in the Old Testament. You say, well, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. What are we going to do? Well, if I was you, I'd cry out to Jesus, ask him to save me. I'd pledge my allegiance to him. Now, guess what the Bible says is going to happen to some of you? Pledge your allegiance to Christ and you're going to be killed. They're going to martyr you. They'll burn you at the stake. They'll cut your heads off. They'll skin you alive. These are the things you say, my goodness. Yeah, I'd say my goodness. This is the thing that's going to go on. And by the way, it's the things that's going on in the Middle East even today. They're doing it now. They'll throw you in a pit. Put a lid on it and turn the hose pipe in there on you. See how, and drown you like that. So, it's awful. You say, Brother Derek, you trying to scare me? Well, if I could, I would. If it'd make a difference, I would. If it'd make you give your life to Christ, I hope that it'd scare you. And I just want you to know it'd be awful. Now, here's the thing for us today. That's coming up. What should we do? Well, he told us what to do in verses 42 through 44. He said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready. You know, sometimes when Laura will be gone somewhere and I'm at the house with the children, first off, that's usually no holds barred, and it's not good, you know. Somebody asked me yesterday or the other day, they said, can my child come home with y'all? I said, that's fine. I'm not going to watch him, but he can come, you know. I said, I'm not, you know, he can be there. Doesn't make me any difference. I'm not watching my kids. I'm not going to watch yours. So anyway, you know, but nonetheless, I'll say this from time to time. I'll say, now, before your mama gets home, we need this house cleaned up. And they'll say something like this, where's she at? Right? Get her whereabouts. And whenever we know we gotta, you know, we'll start cleaning up when we'll time it out, right? That's what they want to do. Here's the thing, that's what we'd like to do. By the way, if Jesus was coming back tomorrow, we would have no empty seats in here today. Everybody'd say, hey, we're here, we're ready to go. But you don't know if he's coming back tomorrow. You don't know. And when you don't know when mama's coming home or daddy's coming home or when the thief's coming in to break and steal, you just stayed up and watched. We need to watch and be ready. We need to be ready at all times. And so three things real quick before we close that we need to do to be ready. Number one is we need to make peace. If Jesus comes back today, I hope that we've made peace with God. I hope that we've been saved. And if you got unforgiveness in your heart, I'd get it right. I don't want to stand before God with holding a grudge. I don't want to see God today and He say, I forgive you of much and you wouldn't forgive them. I've loved you, but you wouldn't love them. And what we have to do in order to that is to forgive people, I got to let some things go. Some things that don't matter, some things I can't change, and I just got to let it go. And so I'd ask you today to search your heart and say, what do I need to get right? And I want you to know this. Getting things right don't have nothing to do with that other person. It has all to do with you. Forgiveness has all to do with me. I can forgive them. You might say, well, they ain't never apologized. That ain't the point. You can forgive them. You can forgive them. And you can say, I'm going to let it go and I'm going to make peace with them because I don't want to carry it around. I've told y'all this before and I think that it's true. You know, unforgiveness is like drinking poison hoping somebody else dies. You carry it around with you. They don't care. They're going on about their life and you're burdened down with it. You just need to let that stuff go and move on. Number two is you need to be proactive. We need to be proactive in leading our families to the Lord and being the leaders that we're supposed to be. We need to be proactive in loving them. By the way, if this is it, if this is our last day, we ought to tell the people we love them. And we ought to hug them and we ought to hold them and we ought to have a good day today. And if you want to do anything before it's over, we might as well get to doing it. You better live today till it's fullest. You know, I'm reading a book about Chick-fil-A, and an interesting thing, the guy who started Chick-fil-A, his name was Truett Cathy. And Truett Cathy didn't open the first Chick-fil-A till he was 46 years old. And one thing I thought about that is, you know, I heard somebody interview a guy the other day, and he was like 70-something years old, and he had wrote several books. And they asked him what his favorite book was he ever wrote. He said, the next one's my favorite book. And he ended up writing 11 more books before he died in his 80s. But my point is this, to say this. You might say, well, I'm too old, or the opportunities have passed me by. Well, you breathing today. You up and living today. Figure out what you want to do and what you need to do and get busy doing it instead of letting life pass us by. We're closer today than we've ever been. And then the last thing we got to keep doing is what we've done today. I'm going to stand and I want to preach this message. Hey, two things are true. Jesus could come back today and He might not come back in my lifetime. I could live to be hopefully an old man. I want to preach here as long as I can. And I might be up here one day, 40 years from now. I might be 75 and say this, Jesus could come back today, right? But you know what we got to do? We got to preach. We got to keep preaching the message. The rains could come today. The flood could come today. He could tell us to get in the ark and shut the door today. For decade after decade, Noah said those things. And people said he was crazy. And he wasn't crazy when the flood started coming. And on that day, when the church is gone and people look around and they say, it finally happened, all the preachers won't be crazy no more. And all the warnings and all the things that were said won't be crazy no more. They'll be reality, and they'll be reality for you, and they'll be reality for me. For the church will be changed in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. I'll be forever with the Lord. Man, what a day that'll be. For those left behind, what a day that'll be when they realize that I'm still here. I think about people like us, you today. If you get left behind, you know what's going to be bad? Some people are going to say, I don't know what's going on. And some of you are going to say, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. I know what's about to happen. There are going to be some people finding their Bibles and start reading Revelation saying, oh my goodness, this is about to take place. So make sure that you know where you're going. Give your life to Christ and begin to live as though we don't know when the master of the house comes. But when he comes, I want him to find me right with him. Amen. Why don't you stand with us today?
page number 200.